Many of you have heard the quote that those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Now, some of you have sat in history classes and thought, I'd just as soon repeat it as have to learn it, right? But history really is important at times because it begins to tell us who, as a culture, we are. It helps us fit things together and to find our identity. Why are we where we are? And that's true on a personal level as well. Without our story, we don't understand how we got here. And without our story, we don't really understand who we are. Our story helps form our identity. We know who people are because of their stories. Like, we meet someone and we may begin to introduce ourselves and we'll talk about family and where are you from, where did you go to school, how many kids do you have, all those things, and we know some facts, but we don't really get to know the person until we start to hear their story. For instance, let me give you an example of that. My grandmother died in 1997. If you had met her before that, you would have seen a pretty tiny little lady. She was 4'11". She loved family. She did her job for 40 years at the bank, and that would tell you some stuff about her, right? You'd know some facts. You knew she was married for 53 years to my grandfather until he died, and those would be facts about her, but you wouldn't really know her until you heard the story. You wouldn't know her until you found out that she was born in 1916, the youngest of six children, four girls, two boys, and that 2 years later, when my grandmother was 2 years old, her mother died. And from that point on, it was sort of a mess, right? I mean, you got six kids at a time when it was really difficult, and anybody taking in six kids during that time would have found it really, really hard. So nobody wanted to do that. And they talked about growing up sort of from pillar to post, right? They were tossed around. A lot of times the boys were in a different home from the girls because nobody wanted all those kids. And even then, you wouldn't know the whole story because the reason her mother, my great-grandmother, died when she was so young was that she had contracted a sexually transmitted infection. And even then, you don't know the whole story until you find out that she contracted it from her husband, my great-grandfather. And that piece of the story changes everything, right? That's why they were passed around. Nobody wanted this guy to raise these six kids. And so it didn't really happen. And so they moved around from one place to another until finally landing with her aunt. She called Aunt Rebecca, and that's who raised them, which was good, but it wasn't her mom. Story goes that Martha Berry, who founded Berry College in North Georgia, somehow came in contact with my grandmother as a little girl and got to know her and even wanted to adopt her, but her family didn't want that. They wanted to keep those girls together. And she got a little bit older. She went to work for the banking clearinghouse in Atlanta, sort of where all the checks went through and then were distributed to the banks. And eventually that broke up and everybody hired off those employees to the banks downtown. And she went to work for what is now Truist Bank and worked there for 40 years till she retired, a woman of stability. She married my grandfather. And as I said, they lived together for 53 years as husband and wife. They married on July 4th, 1937. And you say, who in the world gets married on July 4th, right? Well, if it happens to be in the middle of the Depression and you've got your wedding date scheduled for July 3rd and the boss says you don't have July 3rd off, you work July 3rd and you get married July 4th because you can't afford to lose the job. November 16th, 1945. Don't tell my mom that I told you how old she is, okay? But that's when she was born, their only child. She was the center until my brother and I came along and we became the center. And we didn't lack for anything. They weren't wealthy people, but man, they really made it easy. And we had stuff, but we also had them, and we went places and had fun and played games, and we did all kinds of stuff. Couldn't have had it better. And as I think about her, you know, the things that describe her in terms of family and faith, I sat between my grandparents every Sunday worship my whole life till I got married. Family and faith and stability. A couple of those became themes in her life, I think, because she didn't have that when she was a kid. And she was going to make sure that her daughter, her grandsons, had those things if it was in her power. And she made it. She made it in her power. And even after she died in 1997, that story goes a little further because her sister, her older sister, she was the youngest, her older sister survived her for a few years. And her daughter, my Aunt Nell's daughter, said that my mother could not die until her little sister died, because she had been taking care of her for 80 years and she wasn't about to stop. You see, we don't know a person until we know their story. That's true with other people, right? I mean, we don't really know the people around us even until we hear a little bit of their story. And to really know them, we need a lot of their story. But here's something that's also true. We can't know the God who made us until we hear his story. Now, we can know facts, right? I mean, we could talk about sort of theological truths. We could say that God is omniscient. He knows everything there is to know. That's a fact about God. We could say that God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. God can do what God wills to do. Those are facts. But it would be hard to have a relationship with God if that's all we knew, if we just knew the facts. You see, we need the stories. To get to know God, we need the stories. And here's something that I think is true for us as well. We have a relationship with this God, and we want to pass on that relationship to other people. Sometimes that means our kids or our grandkids. Sometimes that means maybe friends or siblings or even parents or spouses. And we want them to know God the same way we know God. And so we know at some level, we've got to pass something that we have on to them. But that can feel a little bit like a challenge, can it? Because we're not sure how to do it. Well, today I want us to think about that, and I think Scripture speaks to this. In fact, it speaks all the way back near the beginning in the book of Deuteronomy, back before Jesus lived on earth, before he died for us, back before you have any of the kings of Israel, all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. And now, when some people hear Deuteronomy, if they've read it, they go, man, that's a little dry, right? It's a lot of commands, and the truth is, it is. In fact, the word Deuteronomy is sort of two Greek words put together that means second law. And it is a retelling of the law that we find in the first four books of the Bible, sort of a summary. But there's some really good stuff there about living life for God. And we find some that I think helps us in chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy really is all about, okay, this is how you can be God's people. This is what's going to set you apart from the rest of humanity, living this life because of this God who has called you into a relationship with him. But this is what we read the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Love Yahweh. This is the Old Testament God, the Creator God, and the God who sent Jesus. Love Yahweh, your God, and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. You say, okay, I thought it was about the law. And it is, right? I mean, it says, obey everything God has called you to do, not just now, but always. But again, this is about more than just laws. It's about how can you be God's people? What sets you apart from everyone else? And it's this life. But he goes on from there. Verse 2. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of Yahweh your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm. Now you came out of Egypt. You were slaves in Egypt, right? You lived without enough because the Egyptians did not provide for you. And God made you a people and led you out of Egypt, led you through the Red Sea with the Egyptian army chasing you, opened the sea up so you could walk through, and then closed that sea onto the Egyptian army that was ready to destroy you. God saved you in multiple ways, has made you into a nation, and is about to give you a land. But your kids didn't see all that. You were witnesses of this. You saw it happen. But your kids didn't. So, something's got to give. Verse 3, this is what your kids didn't see, the signs he performed, the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord, Yahweh, brought lasting ruin on them. Your kids didn't see that happen. You can believe in some ways because you were right there. You saw the sea open up. You walked on the dry land, and you saw it closed on those chariots and horses. You've seen it all. But your kids haven't. And if they're going to be the people of God, they've got to somehow know these things that happened. And here's the question. How do you pass it on? It begins in verse 18. God speaking, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And the people of Israel took that literally, right? So they made little boxes to put on their foreheads, and they wrote down scripture and put it there. They tied things on their cuffs so that it would remind them of the truth of God's word. They had physical ways of reminding them of the story. Verse 19, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tell your children the story. When you're walking somewhere, when you're coming home, when you're going to bed at night, when you get up in the morning, when you're sitting around the table, tell them the stories. Verse 20, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that Yahweh swore to your ancestors, as many as the days that are the heavens are above the earth. Tell the stories. God says, if your children are going to be my people, they've got to know the stories and the commands that I give you. You see, it wasn't just about obedience. Certainly, the beginning of the chapter makes it clear that God has called them and their children to obey all those commands, instructions, decrees, all that, always. But it wasn't just obedience that God was after. I mean, part of the message of the whole Old Testament is that God is calling the people of Israel into a relationship with Him. And that relationship is not based on the commands. The commands are sort of the outward sign of the relationship. The relationship is based in the story. The story of being called out of Egypt. The story of the Red Sea. The story of being given the land. The story of the great kings of Israel, all that forms this people. And the commands and obeying those commands are the ways that the people responded to the story. And here, God says this is how you do it. You tie it on your cuffs, you put it on your forehead, you talk about it when you're walking along, you talk about it in the morning and the evening and at mealtime. And if you have to, you know what? Write it on the wall so your kids will see it. Tell the stories. Now, what does that mean for us? Because if we're honest, sometimes it feels a little awkward to tell the stories, doesn't it? And occasionally, our answer to knowing that the stories need to be told and knowing that we want to pass our faith on to our kids and grandchildren and to other people in our lives is, well, let's take them to church. And that's a really good thing, right? I mean, that is why we have kids ministry and student ministry, because we believe that part of passing along our faith is having ways to share that story in settings where our kids can learn it. And so we tell it in a way that they can understand it. But for most of us, we're at church, the average, okay, you may be more or less, and that's okay, but the average is something like 40 Sundays a year. So the church has 40 hours a year to tell all those stories, which is not much. And so that leaves some responsibility for us as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, friends, to tell the stories in other settings. And we hear that, and we know it, and we still struggle a little bit with it. How do we do it? Well, maybe it's something like family devotions, right? I mean, you sit down every night and you read a Bible story and have prayer, and I think that's awesome. I mean, that's a great way to do it. But as we read through Deuteronomy, it says, when we come and when we go, when we lie down, when we get up, when we share a meal. And it seems to me that what we're hearing is, it's more than just time that we carve out and say, this is the time for the stories. Sunday morning, we'll go to church and we'll do this thing every night. Again, all good stuff, stuff we need to do. But what the message of Deuteronomy for us is to be telling those stories all the time. To be sharing the message. There's some great stories in this book. Part of what that means is, if we're going to tell it, we got to know it, right? We can't tell stories we don't know. We know we are not born knowing all these stories. The people of Israel were not born knowing these stories. So that's why Moses says, hey, your kids weren't there. You've got to tell them how God rescued you. You've got to tell them how God saved you. And the message for us, thousands of years later, is you've got to tell the stories. Just talk about what's in the book. But it's not just what's in the book, is it? It's also the fact that we are part of the story. When we say, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus, and I want to repent of my sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized into Him, we become part of the story. And so part of the story that we can tell is not just what happened in the book of Matthew, which we need to tell that, but we can also say how God has been at work in my life. And how I went through this really difficult time, and man, it was challenging to get over this grief, or it was challenging to get over this addiction, or it was challenging to get over this sickness, or this financial struggle I went through, or this marital struggle I went through, or this parenting struggle I went through. But you know what? The only reason I got through it was because God was walking with me. That's part of the story. And so we tell the biblical stories, and we tell the stories of God at work in our lives. You know, if you read through the book of Acts, a number of times Paul has this opportunity to speak for Jesus. Sometimes it's when he's on trial, other times as well. And what does he do? He talks about how Jesus is at work in his life. It's what's happened to him. That's part of his story. And the story of God becomes the story of God at work in us. And so whether we're talking to our kids or grandkids, that's one sort of arena. Or maybe it's our coworkers. And, you know, not in every work setting can we just start talking about Jesus in the middle of the day. But, you know, there are ways that we can make God's story part of our story about how God is at work in our lives. Maybe it's a little awkward. And maybe even in our own families, it's a little awkward to talk about this stuff. But here's the thing. This is a story that transcends and transforms this life. Because it's about what's happening now and how God does walk with us through really difficult times. But it's also about how God transforms eternity for us, how God changes people and families and churches and organizations today, and how God saves us for a life with Him in eternity. And we have to ask ourselves, is it worth a few moments sort of discomfort, overcoming fear? Is it worth that? To share this message that changes lives with the people around us. Because it's all about telling the stories of Scripture and telling the stories that are at work in our lives of God's action in us. And what would happen? What would happen if we as a church, we have several hundred people, what would happen if we overcame that moment of fear, maybe that moment of a little bit uncomfortable, to actually talk about how God is at work in our lives and how God is at work in history? Because until we do, people can never have a relationship with Jesus. These stories transform us for now and for eternity. You know, in first service, I knew I was talking about my grandmother today, and I was reminded of such a vivid memory. We sang the song Near to the Heart of God in first service this morning. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. That's okay either way. But I was taken back because when my other grandmother, who I loved, died when I was about 14, it was the first time I had really had to grapple with death. And maybe you remember that for yourself. Could have been a grandparent, could have been a sibling or parent, maybe. But I mean, like, this is the first person that died, and it really impacted my life, and I felt like nothing was ever going to be the same. And we came to the day of the funeral, and I just couldn't sit with my family in front of the casket and the chapel and all that. It was too much. It was overwhelming to me. And sort of at the last minute, this grandmother who was still alive, the grandmother that I was describing earlier, just said, "Sit with us." And so, like every Sunday of the world, I sat between my grandparents during that funeral. Because wherever they were for my whole life until they were gone was always one of the safest places on the face of the earth. And I have this vivid and clear memory of being so broken up over the death of my other grandmother, sitting between my two grandparents who were left, this grandmother who had been through so much and provided stability, and hearing that song, Near to the Heart of God, played on the organ. And I can go back there that quick. But see, what was she giving me? Faith, stability, family, all the stories that mattered to her, all the stories that I could carry forward, all the stories of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, because she showed me, along with many others, my parents, my grandfather, others in my life. She wasn't the only one, but she was one. And there the story was, in that moment, and here it is with me some 40 years later. The stories matter. Tell the stories. Let's pray together. God, we're thankful for the power of the stories you've given us in Scripture and the power of the story that we get to be part of, that you're still at work in us, that you're still filling our lives with your presence that transforms us. And so, God, give us the courage when we need it. Give us the words when we need it to tell the stories. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.